gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, P.J. Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Rich.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
The Do Your Job mob showed up to play again. They are putting in work. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter, at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. And you guys know the drill by now. If you appreciate what we do here, follow us, subscribe to us, share the podcast on all your social media platforms, drop us some stars, leave us a review. I would sincerely appreciate it. The Rockets beat the Memphis Grizzlies at home 140-112, improving them to 38-20 on the season, now 21-8 at home, a season-best 18 wins over 500. The Grizzlies fall to 28-30, now just 12-17 on the road, and regrettably, because look, I like the Grizzlies. I like the Grizzlies a lot, but I don't see them holding on to the eighth seed in the Western Conference. I just don't at this point. They have lost four games in a row. They've got the Portland Trail Blazers and the New Orleans Pelicans right behind them. Granted, both of those teams did just lose games, although for the Pelicans, I know it was against the Lakers. I don't know who the Trail Blazers just lost against. But I'm hard-pressed to imagine the Grizzlies hanging on to that eighth seed. So as much as I enjoy their team, I think they've got a young, exciting, awesome team. Ja Morant is incredible. They're not going to be the eighth seed come playoff time. It's just not going to happen. Anyways, the Do Your Job mob, which is one of the best like group nicknames that I've heard in a long time, put in a lot of work in this one. Austin Rivers, the guy who inadvertently, you know, kind of dubbed the bench squad with that name himself. I actually don't know who came up with it. Was it our boy Itamar on Twitter, or was it, I can't remember who came up with the name. So whoever knows who came up with the Do Your Job mob, sorry, there we go. Whoever came up with that awesome bench mob nickname, like, take credit for it, please, loudly. But it's an awesome nickname. And Austin Rivers is at the forefront of it. So he, you know, he says, you know, in an interview with Kelly Eco of The Athletic, he goes, you know, expletive, just show up and do your job, right? Just show up and do your job. That's the name. That's the name of the bench unit. And that's what they did. They are continuing to do that. This bench unit of Austin Rivers, Ben McLemore, Jeff Green, Damari Carroll to a lesser extent, are showing up and doing their job, and they are helping to dominate these games. Austin Rivers had 23 points in this one. Ben McLemore, 11. Jeff Green, 11. Damari Carroll, just 3 points, only hit one shot, but played some really stellar defense in this one. I mean, what more can you ask out of your bench to draw? They dropped in 48 points off the bench in this one. I'm not even counting Bruno's 4 points there at the tail end of the game in garbage time. So 48 bench points between those four guys. The Do Your Job mob. Incredible. Great stuff. I mean, and Austin, so, and I'll get into this a little bit later. One, I'll save my thoughts for Ben McLemore because I apparently rubbed some people the wrong way on Twitter with my comments. I'll save some thoughts on that for the final segment because I don't want to be restrained by having to hit a break. But Austin Rivers has played phenomenally over this, really ever since he got back from having his thumb injury that he had. He has played exceptionally well. So it's been about 16 games now. He's shooting, over the last 16 games, he's shooting 45% from behind the arc. He's averaging just over 11 points, couple rebounds. Free throw percentage is really the only thing that stands out that could be improved, which he's shooting under 70%, which is, you know, in my eyes, that's never great for a guard. But he's putting in the work. He's gotten, you know, ever since coming back from that hand injury, that thumb injury, he has been phenomenal. And I think an underrated aspect of, and I'll get to James Harden and Russell Westbrook and their phenomenal games, because, but, you know, we can say great things about Russ and James, you know, all the live long day, but I want to give some recognition to the bench guys right now. Ooh, pardon me. I try not to do that in the podcast, but I got a runny nose or something. Anyways, sorry about that. So Austin Rivers, right? And by extension, the whole team. The idea for trading Clint Capella was to optimize space, to prioritize the space, to give Russ more space to operate in. Yes. Does that only benefit Russell Westbrook? Absolutely not. Yes, the idea behind the Clint Capella trade was to give Russ the most space to work with so that he can be as effective as possible, to not have to worry about him, you know, operating as a, you know, potential catch and shoot three-point shooter, things of that nature. Russ just gets to operate exactly how he wants to now, with driving to the paint with his, you know, insane speed. The dude is a blur, as well as operating inside the post against weaker guards. Russ gets to do all that. But an added benefit to the Capella trade is, yes, James Harden also gets to benefit from that, from all that space that he's working with, but so does everybody else on this Rockets roster. And one of the guys that I think is benefiting the most from it right now is Austin Rivers. He's a guy who can beat almost anybody off the dribble, right? He is so quick, great at handling the ball. Probably, honestly, if I had to wager, I'd say second best handles on the team. You know what? No. Yeah, well, James, Austin, you know what? No, we'll go third best handles on the team, because I would go Austin Rivers third, James Harden second, and Thabo Sefolosha first. Okay, I'm just kidding. It's not Thabo first, obviously. Although some of Thabo's sick AI handles as of late have been awesome to watch. No, but seriously, Austin Rivers probably has the second best handle on the team, right? So with his speed, with his handle, he's able to break down anybody and get to the cup. And we've seen that a lot. The Rockets even have a specific play or two where they completely stack everybody up, you know, on the strong side, give Austin the ball on the weak side, and let him essentially play ISO and go one-on-one against his defender, going to his strong hand, you know, so that he can lay the ball up with his right hand. That is a designed play that the Rockets run. Usually it feels like about once a game, where they completely load up the other side of the court, give Austin the ball one-on-one against a defender, and let him try to break them down for an easy 2 points. So now that Austin has all this space to operate in, he's able to get to the cup easier. He's able to, and by extension, the confidence that he has now driving and getting to the rim, it feels like it's bleeding into his shooting. He is pulling with so much more confidence. I mean, in this one against the Grizzlies, Austin Rivers shot 4 of 7 from behind the arc. Like, what more can you ask for? Austin Rivers, and this is a game where you don't even have Eric Gordon, right? Austin Rivers is probably your second best guy off the bench behind Eric Gordon when Eric Gordon is healthy. So when you've got a 1-2 punch in Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers, two guys who are going to benefit so much from this space, just like James Harden and Russell Westbrook are, it makes you really hard to beat when either of those guys can go off for 20 plus points on any given game. So I've obviously shared a lot of thoughts on Rivers, and he also, he broke some serious ankles in this one. I mean, just the handles, the moves that he was putting out there, he was putting on an absolute show. So a round of applause for Austin Rivers, Mr. Houston Bayous. There we go. I forgot we changed his name a long time ago. But Mr. Houston Bayous put on a show at TC last night. So we'll hit this break really quick and come right back in and keep talking about this one. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets obliterating win over the Memphis Grizzlies 140-112. Shout out to ex-Rocket Dylan Brooks, who did drop in 22 points, 4 of 10 shooting from behind the three-point arc. He was a Rocket for all of about maybe 20 seconds after being drafted in the second round and immediately traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. So as I mentioned in the first segment, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, right? Actually, you know what? Let me get back to the do your job mob first for a second. Jeff Green, Ben McLemore, both had 11 points. Jeff Green, 3 of 6 three-point shooting. Ben McLemore, 3 of 5 three-point shooting. Benny Mack continues to impress with his shooting, continues to be a, you know, a big factor off the bench for this team. Jeff Green, who is working on getting a contract finalized for the remainder of the season with this Rockets club, has found a home. I don't expect him to drop off. I really don't. I think that was a concern that some people had regarding Jeff Green and how viable he would be in this Rockets system. But again, the concerns, and even I had them as well, right, with Jeff Green, were not with Jeff Green, the backup small ball five. They were with Jeff Green, the wing player. Jeff Green, the wing player who had to guard other wing players. Jeff Green, the small ball five, gets to play against opposing centers, and basically he's got other people playing out of position. You know, when he's sitting there at the three-point line, not only can he hit the threes, obviously, 3 of 6 shooting for 50%, he can take opposing centers off the dribble. And just like I mentioned in the last segment with Austin Rivers, all this spacing means that it's harder for defenses to collapse on driving Houston Rockets players. So Jeff Green is a guy who is more than capable of taking people off the dribble, getting to the rim, getting to the rack, and I think he's going to benefit from the system in a huge way. I really think that his play is going to remain. Now, is he going to shoot 50% from behind the arc every single game? Probably not. But he's a legitimate threat from behind the arc, a threat that you have to honor. So he'll continue to space the floor for this team, and he's exactly what you need in about a 15 to 20 minute role right behind PJ Tucker headed into the playoffs. And then Ben McLemore, again, he's been phenomenal. He's on a shooting tear. I'll get into his numbers, you know, because I want to revisit his numbers from earlier this season just to see how far he's progressed in his three-point shot. But to the duo, to the guys that make everything happen, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, were getting anything that they wanted against this team. I mean anything. James Harden had himself a game, 7 of 12 shooting from behind the arc, scored 30 points, had 7 boards, 3 assists, a steal. Westbrook and Harden both combined for 5 turnovers, which is not the most ideal, but you live with it. You know, it wasn't, at no point did it feel, you know, was there pressure? Was it a, you know, a close game to where the turnovers were really going to cost you? In fact, before I run into the rest of Harden and Westbrook's stat lines, it was pointed out that the Grizzlies basically beat the Rockets in almost every major statistical category, right? They out-rebounded the Rockets. They had more assists than the Rockets. They had more steals than the Rockets. They had fewer turnovers than the Rockets. They went to the free throw line more than the Rockets. They shot the ball more than the Rockets. The Grizzlies had 108 shot attempts to just 93 by the Rockets. And the Rockets still won by 28 points. It's that Daryl Morey new math in effect. And all that is the Rockets shot 11 more three-pointers, and they made 10 more three-pointers than the Grizzlies did. So the Rockets shot 23 of 50 from behind the three-point arc as a team for 46%. The Grizzlies shot a 13 of 39 from behind the three-point arc for 33.3%. That's the game right there. 10 threes, that's 30 points. The Rockets won by 28. So as well as the Grizzlies played, you know, all things considered, when you're just looking at the box score, nothing matters because the Rockets are going to drain these shots. They're generating the most wide open three-pointers in the league. And that's going to continue. Because again, I don't know how opposing teams are going to limit this essentially come playoff time, because you've got James Harden, you've got Russell Westbrook. When they're on the court at the same time, you can't double either of them because then you've got to worry about the other one. You're going to give up wide open shots. So all it's up to is the Rockets role players to not go 0 for 27, and this team is going to be a problem. But again, back to James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Ran through James' stat line already. Russ with 33 points, 9 boards, 8 assists, just a couple stats shy of a triple-double. Russ also had 4 steals, including the one steal that he got where, you know, I hate it, but, you know, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they gamble for steals sometimes, absolutely. And sometimes it pays off. And the steal that Russ had where he just kind of dove straight in and had a breakaway slam right before halftime, that was, got that crowd amped up. I mean, that's Russell Westbrook to a T, you know, waving his arms around, getting everybody going. They are just having so much damn fun out there on the court. Like, you can just see it. You can see the happiness from these players when they're out there just having a great time on the basketball court. And again, I'm getting flashes of 17-18 right now. The team hasn't been as dominant as that team, because that team was dominant from the get-go, right? I mean, that team, you had a 25-4 start. So it hasn't been as dominant for the entire season, but it does feel like they're trending that way. It feels like they're hitting their stride at the right time. And obviously that coincides with going all in with small ball. It coincides with trading Clint Capela and really, you know, bringing in Robert Covington and really changing the entire makeup of this team. So it's interesting to think of what this team could have looked like if you had had this entire core group of guys from the start of the season. But the point is, you have this group of guys now. Daryl Morey has said before, time and time again, his goal is not to have his best version of the team on the floor in November. His goal is to have the best version of the team on the court in April. And that's exactly what they're doing now. This Rockets team, as it stands right now, would blow out the Rockets team from October and November. They'd blow them out of the water. That's how good this version of the team is. And that, this isn't a hyperbole. This isn't, oh, we're just, you know, they're riding a five-game win streak. They are systematically a better team. Russell Westbrook is able to operate more with space. James Harden is continuing to do James Harden things. Apart from his, you know, really woeful January, he's back on track. He's back doing the things that he wants to do. He looks rested. He looks like he is ready to head into the postseason and continue to dominate. I genuinely don't know who's going to stop the duo of Westbrook and Harden when they're playing this well. When you've got those two guys playing this well, when you've got the role players playing this well, I can't imagine who is going to stop them. I really can't. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Anyways, those two guys got absolutely everything they wanted. Russell Westbrook was driving to the cup relentlessly, hitting a handful of mid-range jumpers, even hit a three-pointer. Russ took two threes and he hit one of them. Shot 50% from behind the arc. Still not quite as good as James Harden at 7 of 12, but you know, he's doing his best. Was a team-high plus 37 for Russell Westbrook. So we'll hit this final break and be right back with final thoughts on this one in just 1 second. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, before I dive into Ben McLemore, a couple other random thoughts just to get out of the way. First, when will the Rockets actually start converting on poster dunks? I said it last night, but the Rockets have absolutely got to lead the league in just blown poster dunk attempts. And a bunch of them belong to Daniel House. That is absolutely certain. That guy's missed at least like 10 monstrous dunks this season alone. I'd actually be really interested to go back and know the accurate number, but it's got to be somewhere in the double digits by now. And then in last night, Robert Covington had the chance to slam one home, and just the reaction by James Harden. There was a video from a fan sitting courtside, I think, that, you know, popped up on, I forget if it's Twitter or Reddit, but somewhere. And James Harden just gives Rocco this, "Are you kidding me?" look, because Russ had such a sweet potential dime to Robert Covington, and he just could not convert on the dunk attempt. So he, Rocco, doing his best Daniel House impersonation as far as, you know, blowing a potential poster. And then past that, the defense in this one. The defense for the team as a whole, they have been flying on that side of the basketball. And for the entire season, we can go back. I can make a remix if I have to. I can go back and remix myself complaining about the defense for the first, you know, 50-some-odd games of the season. But it really feels like they have turned a corner on that side of the basketball. They are recommitted to that side. And whether it's, again, whether it's the mentality of, okay, we don't have Clint Capela back there now, we all have to step up our game a little bit, we all have to work together as a team, as a committee, as a group, to be able to stop the opposing team. We can't just rely on Clint to block everything. We can't, you know, funnel other guards into him. We have to tighten up their perimeter defense. Whatever it is, I'm here for it. Whatever cognitive change has happened to where this team, they just look like they care more about defense. Like, because earlier in the season, sometimes it was just an effort deal, right? Sometimes you just watched them and they just didn't look like they cared about playing on that side of the court. Now it looks like they're engaged, they're energetic, they want to play defense, and they're turning defense into offense, which is the huge part. They're forcing a lot of turnovers, they're scoring a lot of fast break points. I had the stat that I tweeted out last night about them scoring more than 20 plus fast break points for the last, I think it's three times in a row over the last seven games after not doing it in the eight games prior to that, something to that effect. I don't have the stat pulled up right in front of me, but something to that effect, where they're able to get out in transition now more because they're getting their hands in passing lanes, they're being aggressive on the defensive side of the basketball, and that's leading to good things offensively for this team. All right, got those thoughts out of the way. Ben McLemore time. So first things first, credit to Ben McLemore. He did not start off the season that well at all. Looking at his shooting numbers, looking at his shooting splits by month, Ben McLemore shot 30% in October. Then he shot just under 32% in November. These are all three-point shooting, by the way. I don't care about his normal numbers. Because, right, he just shoots threes. I mean, he has a few layups here and there, but he's a three-point specialist. So 30% in October. Just under 32% in November. Just over 39% in December. A hair over 45% in January, and then a smidge over 48% in February so far. That is unreal. So there's only one more game left in February. So unless he, you know, shoots abysmally against Boston, you know, he's not going to tank his February percentage. So he has absolutely ramped up his shooting numbers as the season has progressed. So much so to the point that he is an absolute threat from behind the arc. He is a walking bucket, shooting almost 50% from behind the arc for the month of February. That is insane. Yes, I hear that. But here's my thing. And Ben and I talked about this a little bit in the Mailbag podcast. It is not a slight to Ben McLemore to think that situationally, Damari Carroll will get minutes over Ben McLemore. Now, is that to say that Ben McLemore will be cut from the roster or will not get any minutes come playoff time? Absolutely not. That is what I want to clarify. When I say that Damari Carroll may edge out Ben McLemore for some minutes, I don't mean Ben McLemore is getting 0 minutes. I think situationally, there are going to be times when Damari Carroll's combination of size, defense, and just veteran, I don't want to say veteran leadership, that's not the right word, just his experience, right? I think there are going to be times when what Damari Carroll brings to the table, in addition to average three-point shooting, will be more critical than Ben McLemore's insane three-point shooting. Because Ben McLemore, again, is a guy, he's 6'3", not the best defender. I'm being generous here, not the best defender, phenomenal shooter. Yes, so when you need a bucket offensively, when you hit a lull, when the defenses are, you know, tightening in on James Harden and Russell Westbrook, or if one of them doesn't have it going for a game and you need a spark off the bench, you need a guy who can just fill it up immediately, yes, Ben McLemore is your guy, or at least the stats show that he is your guy currently. Do I expect him to shoot damn near 50% for the rest of the season? Absolutely not. He is going to regress to the mean. He is going to cool off a little bit. I just hope that he doesn't cool off so much so to the point that he gets 0 minutes come playoff time. If he can stay steady at about 40% or 39% going into the playoffs, I will be ecstatic with those numbers. And I think he will legitimately get consistent playing time in the playoffs. This is a good problem for Mike D'Antoni to have. Because once he gets Eric Gordon back healthy, fingers crossed, when he has Eric Gordon back healthy, he's got a really great top seven. So he's got the starters, and then you assume Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon off the bench. And then he's got a really great problem to have in that past those seven guys, he's got Ben McLemore, Damari Carroll, Jeff Green, and then maybe situationally, if needed, you know, as kind of insurance policy now, Tabo Sefolosha. But Tabo is not going to be getting consistent minutes. Tabo has probably lost his official rotation spot as we speak. There's really no need. Jeff Green has made Tabo expendable. Tabo was getting, you know, some minutes behind PJ Tucker in the new small ball lineup. So we had the Tuck wagon lineup starting, and then we had the Sefolosha wagon backing him up, apparently. But there's no need for that now. Jeff Green has eliminated the need for Tabo Sefolosha. So this is a great problem for Mike D'Antoni to have. And again, I think it will depend on the matchups. There are going to be some situations where having Ben McLemore out there, having his shooting, you know, making sure that you can continue to keep the spacing ideal will be huge. But it's not like there's a huge drop off from Ben McLemore to Damari Carroll or from Ben McLemore to Austin Rivers. As long as you have legitimate shooters positioned around the three-point line, defenses will have to honor that. Defenses aren't just going to sag off Damari Carroll because Ben McLemore, or they're not going to sag more off Damari Carroll because Ben McLemore's shooting a higher percentage from three. I don't picture it. Defenses aren't going to treat Ben McLemore like he's Klay Thompson. Yes, he's shooting well from behind the arc, and he's still going to get himself some wide open shots. But again, I think that situationally, Damari Carroll may edge him out for some minutes. And I will die on this hill. And I will be happy to, you know, if, actually I won't be happy. I was going to say, I will be happy if Damari Carroll winds up not cracking the rotation, but that's not true. I think it's great that the Rockets have options, because there have been times throughout the season, in past postseasons, where, you know, due to injuries or due to whatever, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the Luke Bamute injury from the 17-18 season, right? Having Luke available, having Prince Luke available in that postseason would have been huge, because then in games 6 and 7, when you don't have Chris Paul and, you know, you don't have to rely on spot minutes from Ryan Anderson or Joe Johnson. I mean, so it's a great problem to have this depth, to have guys that you can rely on to be rotation pieces. And the biggest thing is throughout the regular season, as they move into the postseason, this means that you can at least keep the minutes down on the starters. Against the Grizzlies, the only guy who broke 30 minutes was Russell Westbrook. So Westbrook plays 34 minutes. Nobody else broke 30. Covington, 29. Harden, 28. PJ Tucker, 25 minutes. That's huge. And this is a game where, again, Eric Gordon didn't even play. So when you have Eric Gordon back, you have even more minutes to spread around. So this will be great moving into the postseason, just having this collection of guys, this group of guys who can, on any given night, it looks like multiple guys are willing to step up to the plate. Obviously, James Harden and Russell Westbrook will get theirs, you know, roughly every evening. There may be some nights where one or the other doesn't have it, but having this group of guys, Austin Rivers, Ben McLemore, who's had some 20-point burgers, Jeff Green, who's stepped up to the plate since becoming Houston Rocket, Eric Gordon, who, you know, we need him to get healthy. That's a big one. Getting Eric Gordon healthy, getting him right, he is still going to be one of the X factors for this team. This team will not go far in the playoffs if Eric Gordon is not healthy. Even as well as they're all playing, Eric Gordon gives them another dynamic scoring option, a guy who can fill it up from behind the arc, a guy who can drive to the basket. Without him, this team is, I'm not going to say doomed, but they need him to get healthy. And right now, they have the ability to let him sit out, and it's not detrimental to the team. They can let Eric Gordon sit out for as many games as he needs to get him right. But it sounds like Eric Gordon should be available for the Rockets' next game in Boston against the Celtics Saturday evening, which, just throwing it out there, there will be another Rockets Twitter watch party at the Big City Wings right behind, or not behind, it's right over by the Edwards Marquee Theater off of I-10 and 610. So you can look up the address online if you're interested in joining us for that. I will be there. Ben DuBose will be there. A bunch of other people will be there from the Rockets Twitter family. So if you are in H-Town, please swing by. Would love to meet you. Would love to hang out. Would love to talk ball with you. So come out. Have a great time there. Again, like I said, Eric Gordon should be available for that game. I think that's the plan, was for him to play in that game. Kemba Walker may not be available for that one. So Kemba Walker has missed the last three games, I want to say. So basically, I think it was since the Rockets game, hasn't played with a sore knee. So just like Eric Gordon, you know, may or may not play that game. So that, I'm not going to be upset if Kemba Walker doesn't play, because he's a guy that can fill it up, can light up the Rockets. So having Kemba Walker out would make for an easier W for this team. But again, come out, have a great time, have some wings, have some drinks. It'll be a fun time for everybody involved. I think that's basically everything I wanted to hit on. Robert Covington, 3 more blocks. So the block party continues for Robert Covington against the Grizzlies. No test after this game, though. No drug test for him. Although I wouldn't have been surprised if Austin Rivers got a drug test. 23 points on 9 of 12 shooting. Wouldn't have been surprised if Austin Rivers got hit with that random, air quotes, random drug test after the game. And then I guess last thing is Daniel House Jr., quiet game for him. Just 4 points, missed both of his threes, just a couple rebounds, a couple turnovers. Not a great overall game from Daniel House Jr., but I think it's just maybe a one-off. He's been playing pretty well since the All-Star break. In fact, some of his numbers from the All-Star break, he's got just averaging just under 9 points a game, shooting a bit over 36% from behind the three-point arc. So he's playing his role well. You know, Daniel House is doing what he's supposed to do. He's bringing energy and, filling into that starting lineup in the absence of Eric Gordon. And I think, even when Eric Gordon does return, will continue to be the starter, that size that he brings, at the forward position, being able to keep everything switching 1 through 5, his defense. I think it's important to keep him where he's at. So I'm not too concerned by the quiet game by Daniel House, but I figured I'd just point it out. So I think that is where we will wrap things up for today. As always, sincerely appreciate you guys listening, and we look forward to having you back very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.